Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. With the NBA draft going down Wednesday evening, I've brought in some help. Joining us this week is our hoops expert, Matt Hanifan, who's here to tell you everything you need to know about Colorado State star Neat Clifford's potential landing spots, Nevada guard Kobe Sanders' chances of getting picked, and the top prospects to watch from the Mountain West for next season. After we get the rundown from Matt, we'll switch gears to the football field, but still staying on theme, I'll let you know each school's top NFL prospect, including what they've already accomplished and what they'll have to do this season to make it to the next level. Awesome episode for you guys this week. Let's dive in. Without further ado, here is our interview with hoops expert Matt Hanifan. All right. Thanks for coming on, Matt. Really appreciate it. You know, with the NBA draft right around the corner, we had to bring our hoops expert Matt Hanifan up to the mountain. So we just got a couple of questions. How's your day going, first of all?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, as always. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, just getting excited for where some of these guys are going to land. First question is going to start from the top. Where is Neat Clifford going to land? From everything I've seen, it does seem like Neat Clifford's going to be hearing his name called somewhere in the first round. You know, he got the green room invite with his family to attend the event and everything. So as our scouting expert, what have the NBA teams liked about Clifford throughout the draft process, and what landing spots make sense to you?
I think with him getting the green room invite, like, I don't try to read into that too much, because I mean, there's always, you know, one or two players each year that have a green room invite but still fall to the second round. But I think Neat is like a firm top 20 guy. If you look anywhere from 14 through 17 with San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Memphis, and Minnesota, I think those are all intriguing landing spots for him. I think 20 for the Heat is an intriguing landing spot for him. Obviously, OKC has two picks in the first round. They're at 24 again. Like, if they don't take him at 15, if he somehow drops to 24. He is an older prospect in the class, but I think the thing that teams like about him so much is how malleable he is. He's one of the better all-around wing prospects in this class, especially once you climb outside of the top 10. Like, he was one of the best defensive rebounders, if not the best defensive rebounder in the country for a guard. He was a good three-point shooter, shot 37.7% each of his last two seasons at Colorado State. Obviously, his usage, you know, increased a bunch once Isaiah Stevens left Colorado State and he assumed that primary shot creator role and flourished with it. I mean, he was a monster down the stretch, you know, last 15, 20 games. He was a routine like 20, 10, and 5 guy for Colorado State on very good efficiency while also being one of the best defensive players in the entire conference. And his all-around impact, his fluidity, he's a good athlete. He doesn't have great length, 6'6" with a 6'8" wingspan, but I think he's got like a solid frame to him. How good of an all-around prospect he is. Like, another thing that I think teams do like about him is how good he was off the ball. Like, he's a very good off-ball mover. He flourished in Nico Medved's motion-heavy, motion-laden offense. He didn't need the ball in his hands all the time to make an impact. And he was a very good, like, connective passer. He's not a guy that you're going to ask to initiate all the time in pick and roll or anything like that. He was more than capable of doing that. He was very good as a cutter, understood leverage coming off of screens, and knew how to move in that way. And so I just think all of that together, you get a very good wing prospect despite being 23 years old on draft night. You know, if you're looking at someone in the middle of the first round, like San Antonio, Memphis, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, any of those teams, I think, could definitely use someone like that. And I think he would be someone who I think impacts a NBA rotation right away.
Moving on from our guaranteed selection from the Mountain West, the real wild card here with Miles Byrd returning to San Diego State for another season is going to be Kobe Sanders from Nevada. Really a fascinating prospect. As a 6'8" guard who can score at all three levels and facilitate, but still a little bit limited. What role do you see him in if he makes the NBA, and how confident are you that he'll hear his name called at some point in the second round?
I think with so many players heading back to school because of NIL, I think there's a far better likelihood of him hearing his name called anywhere in the mid to late 40s, early 50s. There's 59 picks. And so I think he'll get his name called then. I think there's a greater than 50% chance. I'd probably go like 55, 45, yes, that he hears his name called. The draft is always weird. The thing that I always try to take into account with this is certain teams value certain players and certain skill sets more than others. Like, each team has their own board, depending on how a team feels about Kobe Sanders. One of the 30 teams, you know, could take a shot on him. He is an intriguing prospect. As you mentioned, he is a 6'8" guard. He was kind of thrust into a playmaking role his last two seasons, his senior season at Cal Poly and then his super senior season at Nevada. And I think he improved as a passer over those 2 years. It's still not great. With him specifically, the questions that I have with him is like his ability to get to the rim consistently, his athleticism once he gets to the rim. He had, you know, pretty good touch. His three-point shooting was a little bit inconsistent. You know, he was around 33-34% each of his last 2 years in school, and he was a career 32.9% three-point shooter on fairly low volume. That's got to be something that translates, but, you know, he's a big guard, not a bad defender. I think he's gotten better at that over his, you know, collegiate career. He's an improved passer. He's an improving ball handler. He's a very good pull-up jump shooter. Like, he's someone who has one of the best in-between touches coming off of screens and whatnot. If you're looking at drafting Kobe Sanders, like, you have to develop the shot, you have to develop the ball handling, all that stuff. But I think he is a very, very intriguing prospect in the second round.
The pieces are definitely there for a really solid role player in the NBA. It's kind of just whether Kobe Sanders lands at a spot that's willing to develop him and add a couple pieces to his shot in his game to really make him a key player for one of these teams. Moving on to just overall the odds that the Mountain West could have two players picked in the NBA draft the first time since 2020. First off, for our listeners, Matt's got a great article diving deep into this issue about different factors that are leading up to this potentially being the case, with, you know, a lot of players coming back to the college ranks because of NIL and the pool kind of just shrinking. Without giving too much away from your article, how likely do you think it is that the Mountain West gets both Clifford and Sanders picked this year?
Since I gave the 55-45, I think that's where it's at, because it's like, unless somehow a team buys into Tyson Dagenhart, who's another one who, like, I think will be an undrafted guy that some teams may like, he would be the only other one that I could think of off the top of my head that would even draw, you know, late second round consideration. I'll raise it a little bit. I'll give a 60% likelihood that both players are drafted. Again, weird things happen on draft night, but that's kind of where my mind's at right now, over 48 hours until the draft.
For sure. I didn't even think about Dagenhart. Yeah, especially with the pool kind of shrinking. I wonder if a team in the 50s takes a shot on him. That'd be really awesome. Last question for today before I send you back down the mountain, Matt. Really appreciate it. Off the top of your head, what returning Mountain West player not named Miles Bird do you think has the best chance of breaking out nationally and getting picked in the 2026 NBA draft?
I think it has to be Magoon Gwath. He might not even be a 2026 guy, but some of the stuff that, like, if you go back and watch, like, the Fresno State, he's so intriguing as a player with that kind of length, that beyond 7 foot, his ability to handle, he's got, I think, shooting potential in him. I know I don't think the percentages were that great this last year. Obviously, he was the defensive player of the year as a freshman. Like, he's got such an intriguing skill set. He's really got to fill out his body. He's really got to get bigger. One of the biggest things, because it's like at the NBA level, that physicality over an 82 game stretch, that will wear on bigs that aren't physically strong and physically able to handle that and withstand that. And so I think that will be the biggest thing for him. But he's got such an intriguing skill set and body. And I think with Sean Newman there, with Miles Bird, Farrell Compton, like all those guys over there, I think he has a real, real shot at breaking out. And I think he's the front runner to earn consideration for the 2026 draft. Just a couple other ones worth mentioning are like Andrew Meadow from Boise State. He really broke out, you know, the second half of last season. Mason Falslev, I know he's a little bit of an older prospect for a junior. He's very productive in what he does. He's a very pesky, feisty individual. And I say that in a complimentary way, of course. I think Gwath would have to be the one that sticks up off the top of someone who can break out as a potential 2026 prospect. If not 2026, then 2027 for sure.
At some point, I got to imagine Magoon Gwath is going to be on an NBA roster. Just a matter of when, not if. All right. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate it. Again, listeners, make sure you go check out his latest article on the odds of the Mountain West getting two players drafted and kind of diving into that situation. Before we send you back down the mountain, Matt, any last final parting thoughts?
No, man. Thank you for having me on, as always. You do a great job. Please go check out mountainwestconnection.com. We have a lot of great work over there. Yeah, thank you for having me on, man, as always.
Thank you so much to Matt for making the trip up the mountain for us. Always a pleasure to have him on. For the back half of the show, let's switch to the gridiron and talk about each Mountain West team's most NFL-ready prospect. We'll go in alphabetical order per usual, starting with Air Force. I'm going with senior running back Dylan Carson. With Air Force, you always got to go a little bit outside the box, but I like my selection here. Carson really broke out as a sophomore with close to 500 rushing yards, over 7 yards per carry. His role increased as a junior, so his stats went up, 600 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns, but his yards per carry dropped by 3, so closer to 4 yards per carry. Carson's had a couple of 100 plus yard games throughout his career. He's definitely shown the ability to take over games at times, kind of like Brad Roberts, who won Offensive Player of the Year award for Air Force in 2020, and that was enough to get Roberts a shot in the NFL. So that's probably the benchmark of what Carson would have to do to make a name for himself among NFL scouts, even if he hypothetically put up 1,000 rushing yards and 10 touchdowns on the ground, getting first team all conference honors. Carson would still probably fly under the radar at that point. So it's definitely a bit of a stretch to expect Carson to win Offensive Player of the Year. I think a more reasonable take is that he'll post a career high in yards and touchdowns while getting his yards per carry above 5. And if he can get to 800 total yards, he should be an all Mountain West honorable mention at minimum. Next for Boise State, an easy pick here, and that's left tackle Cage Casey. The juniors started 28 straight games over the last two seasons, getting back-to-back all Mountain West selections as a freshman and sophomore, and was an All-American last season. As long as Casey doesn't regress this year, he could be a fringe first-round pick. He's as polished as tackle prospects come, and he didn't allow a sack last year, despite playing more snaps than any offensive lineman in the Mountain West. Cage has followed the blueprint left by Ashton Gentry: break out as a freshman, become an All-American as a sophomore, and if he can keep the trend going into his junior year, Casey should post another nationally recognized season, solidifying himself as a top 5 tackle prospect in the NFL draft. Next for Colorado State, I'm going with nickelback Aiden Hector. He began his career at Washington State and has now had 3 really solid years with the Rams, with 2024 being his best yet. 39 tackles, 6 pass deflections, and tied for the Mountain West lead with 3 forced fumbles. He's certainly a long shot to become a bona fide draft prospect, but he's become known as one of the most consistent nickels in the conference. If he can take the next step from starter to star, making some noise for Defensive Player of the Year in the process, that should be enough to get him selected somewhere in the 2026 draft. Next up for Fresno State, another really easy selection here, and that's defensive end Corey Foreman. He was the former number 1 overall recruit coming out of high school, committed to USC, and then after transferring to Fresno State, really revived his career last year, racking up 24 tackles, 3 sacks, and tying for the league lead with 3 forced fumbles. At 6'5", 265 pounds, he is an absolute unit. When you include his pedigree as a high school prospect, Foreman will be a day 3 pick, even if he disappoints this season. You see that a lot in day 3 in the NFL draft, where even if there's a player that didn't do anything in college, if they were a 5-star out of high school, someone's going to take a shot on them in the 6th or 7th round. So that's the floor for Corey Foreman, but if he comes into his own as one of the best edge rushers in the Mountain West, Corey Foreman could shoot all the way up draft boards into day 2 or day 1. Next for Hawaii, I'm going with one of my favorite players, safety Peter Manuma. He wasn't fully healthy in 2024, but this is what his average full season looks like. 78 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, 2 interceptions, and a forced fumble. That's what he's capable of as a freshman and sophomore. With a full season to get healthy, Manuma has the talent to put up 100 plus tackles and make himself a day 3 selection. Next up for Nevada, had to go outside of the box here, but I'm going with Marcus Bellin, the slot wide receiver. He began his career with stops at Santa Barbara Community College and UTEP, but had a career year as a junior with the Wolfpack. Played in all 13 games, caught close to 40 passes for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, along with throwing a touchdown pass as well. It's definitely a stretch to say that Marcus Bellin's going to be a draft prospect come this time next season, since he's only 5'9", 182 pounds. But guys that size have been drafted. You just need to be an incredibly dynamic player and have a heck of a senior season. So if Marcus Bellin can do that, who's to say he doesn't get drafted? Moving down to New Mexico, we're going with linebacker Randolph Kapai, the former 4-star prospect who transferred in from Nebraska in his first extended action as a collegiate player last year. Kapai picked up 80 tackles and 5 tackles for loss, good for third best on the Lobos. With most of his teammates from last year swapped out for new faces, he'll have every opportunity to become the focal point of New Mexico's defense, and if he was to become a all-conference selection, close to a Defensive Player of the Year caliber player, I really think Kapai, with his past pedigree as a 4-star prospect, could become a 4th or 5th round pick pretty easily. Sliding over to San Diego State, another really easy selection, that's going to be defensive end Trey White. The junior is arguably the most talented returning player in the Mountain West. He turned into an absolute game wrecker as a sophomore. White's 12.5 sacks and 19 tackles for loss led the conference by a wide margin. He was also named a captain in his first season as a starter, opting to return to San Diego State instead of chasing NIL money that was certainly available to him. If White can repeat his production from last year, he'll be a surefire day two pick next April. Moving across town to San Jose State, I'm going with linebacker Jordan Pollard. The senior is the most productive returning linebacker in the Mountain West, coming off of a 115 tackle, 14 TFL campaign that really put the league on notice. He didn't come out of nowhere either, posting 79 tackles as a sophomore. Entering his final year as a Spartan, Pollard looks to lead his squad towards the college football playoff and may end up factoring into the defensive player of the year race as well. If he does that, he should certainly be a day three pick. Now going to the strip of UNLV in Las Vegas, really going outside the box here with how many transfers they have. I'm going with UTSA transfer Denver Harris. I know I got some explaining to do. With only four returning starters for the Rebels, I'm going to go way outside of the box with this one. Harris was a five-star recruit out of Houston that was a part of the historic 2022 Texas A&M signing class. He hasn't quite figured it out yet, though, with one-year stints with the Aggies, LSU, and most recently UTSA, but his pedigree as a prospect means he's still on the NFL's radar even now, even with his career-best numbers only being 16 tackles and 3 deflections. He's got a decent frame at 6 foot flat, 190 pounds. He's got great athleticism. If he can have a resurgence, kind of like Jalen Catalan had last season, big name, kind of falls off the map but comes back to UNLV, really shows what they're capable of. If he posts a all-conference season, Denver Harris certainly will be drafted next season. Our second to last stop is Utah State. I'm going with another fan favorite, and that's safety Ike Larson, personally one of my favorite Mountain West players of all time. He became a household name for us after posting back-to-back seasons with 4 interceptions. His freshman year was great, but his sophomore year was special. 103 tackles, those 4 picks we just mentioned, 6 deflections, and 2 blocked kicks. Ike single-handedly dragged Utah State to a bowl game. His 2024 season was solid, but not historic, which did cause some concern. But with Larson back in Logan for his final year, he could easily swipe defensive player of the year and become a day two draft pick. And finally, let's go to Wyoming, where we're going to talk about tight end John Michael Gillenborg. He broke out as a sophomore with 360 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns, all while being the second tight end in line. Last season as a junior, he battled injuries and only played in 9 games, but still posted a career best 425 yards. JMG has great hands and ability to pick up yards after the catch, qualities that are always needed on Sundays. If Gillenborg can show the pros that his best football is still ahead of him with a big season as a senior, I'd be stunned if he ends up without an NFL home next year. That is it for this week's episode of the Hike Speak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, huge thanks to Matt Hanifan for making the trip up the mountain to join us. Always great to hear his insight. Media Days is less than a month away as well, and with the regular season right behind that, we're officially in the home stretch of the offseason. Also, our Mountain West College Basketball Transfer Tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the constantly updating list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Get ready for a great month of content to get you prepped for the 2025 season. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.